Blog Talk Radio.
The benefit of
of the interpretation of the parable today. But it was his intent that the masses did not understand, so that the prophecy would come true. But what I found today is that even with the interpretation of the parable, most people still just do not get it, do not get the scriptures, and especially if they believe that they don't have to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, then they surely don't get the parable, because the Most High is looking for those who will obey his voice, who will hearken unto him and obey him, and that's who he's looking for. And he doesn't care what color they are, red, yellow, black, or white. He doesn't care anything about that. What he cares about is those who will obey. He did make some promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and for their descendants, but only those descendants that are loyal, that who will obey his voice. So just to be a descendant is not enough. It, you know, puts you on the line. It makes you have availability to the promises, but it doesn't guarantee you the promises unless you are obedient to what he says. So we are, you know, we have been leading up to Messiah. We started with his birth, and we are leading up to the Passover, which is coming up in about 20-some-odd days for us. And within that, you know, it's the culmination of his ministry. And the vast majority of his ministry to the masses was in parables. And so I wanted to start going through some of those parables because they explain to us what the kingdom of heaven is all about. The kingdom that we are supposed to be citizens of, members of, even today, even right now. And if we are not doing these things, then we are not being faithful to our king. And that's the bottom line. Doesn't matter what land we're in. Doesn't matter how we were taught. If we are truly his, then we will come into truth. And we will do what it is that he says to do. So this is who he's looking for. And too many scriptures that say that for those who don't obey his voice, don't hearken unto him, don't keep his commandments, you know, not understanding that Messiah is him, is the Most High. And when Messiah says, how do you say you love me and do not what I say? Then people want to, you know, say that Messiah changed a whole lot of things, but he did not. He did not change a whole lot of things. Changed only those things that were necessary for this age. And so we're going to look at these parables and look at, you know, the condition of the heart that he's looking for the person to be in, you know, their ability to forgive, their ability to live a righteous life, to what exactly is the standard of the kingdom. And that's how we're supposed to be living today. And it's in his parable. So with that being said, we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America or South America, on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries, wherever you listen to this ministry at, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We're going to go ahead and ask the ladies, all the ladies, to cover your head, men, uncover your head, as we go before the Most High. Turn toward the east, and let us begin this Shabbat with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. We worship you, Father. We worship you. We worship you on today. And we bow down to you. And we submit ourselves 100% totally from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet to you, Father Elohim. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. And glory to your wondrous name. Glory, 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 glory to your wondrous name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Holy, holy, holy are you. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that we should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would repent from our wicked ways and turn away from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, if you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are turning from our sins and repenting of our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call him Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on today, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding, well, let's go to, let's read for scripture today. Let's just get John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. Let us summon the Most High, because if we blow the shofar, that he will always come and be with us.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, his name is to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let us go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 4. It's going to be the premise for this series, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Yeshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The whole purpose for salvation, for being redeemed, for learning the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, is that we might enter into his kingdom as righteous citizens, not as lawbreakers, not as disobedient, but as righteous, obedient citizens. And so Messiah and John both just said simply, the kingdom of heaven is here. And then they proceeded to teach people how to enter into the kingdom. And so this is what, we need to focus on. But we're going to do it from the standpoint of the parables for this series, from the standpoint of the parables, okay? So let's go to, before I start that, I want to say that we will be celebrating what the world calls Easter. We call the heave offering or the Feast of the First Fruits. And it is tied to Passover, the first Sunday after Passover. And this year, that is going to be on like the 24th or the 26th of April. It's going to be on the 28th of April this year, okay, for us. So the world is celebrating on Sunday. And how they're celebrating, how they got that day this year, I don't have a clue. But still, we will be celebrating and lifting up the Most High and celebrating not Easter, but the Feast of the First Fruits. That is what it's called in the scriptures. That is what is what the Most High gave in Torah from the very beginning, Feast of the First Fruits, Messiah being the first fruit from the dead, how he fulfills that. Okay, and so we want to honor him in that. We want to honor Passover, and Passover will be around the 24th this year. Yeah, I think it's the 24th of this month, and we will celebrate Passover. Okay, so just be mindful that we are keeping the feast days according to the scriptures, and that we worship the Most High according to his days and not according to the world. So let us now go to Matthew chapter 13, okay? And we're going to start there. Matthew chapter 13. We'll start in verse 1. Because the gospel is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. You becoming saved, sanctified, redeemed, that's all part of accessing the kingdom, becoming a citizen of the kingdom. The kingdom is here right now. As I'm speaking, the kingdom is already here, has been here for 2,000 plus years. We are supposed to be living as though we are in the kingdom and not becoming citizens, but already citizens of the kingdom. Okay, and so I want us to pay attention to some of the things that Messiah says in Matthew chapter 13, okay? And you can get reference verses for these same parables that are in Matthew's in Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. You can get them from Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. But we're going to be dealing with the book of Matthew on today, okay? And from that standpoint. So Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1. The same day went Yeshua out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. Now, great multitudes of people came to hear him, but I want you to pay attention as to how Messiah talks to them. This is very important. And great multitudes gathered unto him so that he went into a ship. He's on the shore. The people are so many. he goes out in a little boat just offshore so that he can speak to the masses. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Underline that. In parables. This is how he always speaks to the mass. Parables. Now we have, hindsight is 20/20. And we have the luxury of the, you know, the scriptures being written and the parables being interpreted for us. But they were not interpreted for the masses back then. And on top of that, even today, even with having the interpretation of the parables, many people still do not get the scriptures. They don't get what he's talking about. So they are still blinded. Okay? Still blinded. Still got deaf ears. So he says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. So these seeds that fell on the wayside, they never germinated. They became instant food for the fowls of the air, okay? Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. So a stony place, you know, a seed needs soil to root in. Can't really root in a stone, okay? Someplace hard. And they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth. So they came up, but they didn't really have anything to root in, okay, to establish themselves in. So these types of plants aren't going to survive. Okay, when it gets hot, if it rains too much, if it gets too windy, they have nothing to hold them down. Okay? So it had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So these, you know, these are the people who hear the word, but they themselves are kind of shallow in their understanding, in their belief. And anytime there's any type of trial that comes along, any type of temptation, then that's what they're after. And they fall. They wither away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. So these fell on some good ground, but they also fell on ground that had a lot of thorns in it. Okay, and the thorns choked them out for food, the good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, on its own, this parable is not understandable unless you have already read the interpretation, and this is what Messiah wanted. He did not want the masses to understand, okay? And we might think, well, wow, the gospel is supposed to be for everybody. No, it's not for everybody. It's for those that he calls and he chooses. It's not for everyone. Okay? And the disciples, now listen to what his disciples say. And the disciples said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? How come you not speaking to them plainly? Why don't you just say what you mean? And what does Messiah say? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So all of this is about the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. To the masses it wasn't given. And so this status is still true today. It was true back then. It's still true today. Okay? Because men have taken and replaced the commandments of the Most High with their own doctrine, with their own commandments, with their own tradition. And they don't follow after him. And so they cannot come to the truth of the real gospel because they've replaced it. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. So if you have some understanding or had some understanding, the Most High says, if you are able to receive the true gospel, even the true, little understanding you did have, he's going to take it away from you, okay, and give it to someone else. Therefore, speak to I them in parables, because they see stuff, they believe they know what they see, but they don't really see what's really going on. And hearing, they hear not. They hear the gospel, they hear the word that is taught, but they don't really understand it. They can't really grasp it. Neither do they understand. Okay? So this was done on purpose, because the Most High, especially when it came to Israel, but this applies to the rest of the world as well, because they had been given the truth, and they rejected the truth, not once, not twice, not three times, but over and over and over again. He determined when he came to offer salvation that he would not speak to them plainly. And if you go to Psalm 78, he says, I will speak to them in parables. That's how he's going to speak to the people, in parables. And this is what he comes doing. He speaks to them in parables, in symbolic language that has to be interpreted, that has to be understood what the meaning is. So he does not give this meaning to the masses. He gives it to his disciples. To keep reading. And in them, the crowd, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. So you're going to hear this gospel. You're going to see miracles and stuff happen. But you're not going to really understand what's going on. You're not going to accept it for what it is. For this people's heart is waxed gross, meaning that their heart is just not genuine. It's all about self. Okay, and that's not what the gospel is about. And their ears are dull of hearing, meaning that they heard this stuff over and over and over again, and truthfully, Israel was tired of hearing it and didn't want to do it. That's the bottom line. The most of them have sent the prophets to them over and over and over again, and they got tired of hearing it and didn't want to do it. And their eyes, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, see for real, and hear with their ears, hear for real, and should understand with their heart, and to be converted. Now, 99.9% of all what I'm going to call Christendom today teaches a conversionless salvation, okay? You don't really have to convert. You don't really have to change. You got to say a prayer, the sinner's prayer, and say that you are a sinner, which is generic. Don't really fess up to your true sin, and they don't really convert. That's why a lot of people continue to struggle when they come to the Most High, continue to struggle with certain things because they never truly repented. They never turned away from it. They never recognized or acknowledged it as this is actually sin, and it's sin. It's a transgression of the law because simply because the Most High says it's a transgression. It's that simple. He's the one that determines what is a transgression and what is not. That's why he got on Peter. When he said, Peter, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, and what I determine to be clean, don't you determine to be unclean. If I tell you those unclean animals that I told you were unclean to eat in Torah, if I tell you that they are now clean, they are clean because I'm the one that makes the determination. They are simply unclean because I say they are unclean. They are transgressions simply because he says they are transgressions. Now, will the rest of the world agree with that 100%? No. And the rest of the world, just like Israel, didn't agree with it. and they made up their own stuff. They made up their own standards. Okay. And so he's saying, at least they should understand that I'm the one that gives the standards. And they would understand with their heart and be converted. Because they would understand who it's coming from. They hear who it's coming from, but they really don't give him or put him in his place, that he is the Most High Elohim. And what he says goes. Okay, and I'm just trying to break this down to its simplest form so that we don't, you know, struggle with it. It's as simple as that. He said that these things are transgressions. They are transgressions. He said that these things are unclean. They are unclean. Okay. He said that this is how you have to be redeemed. You have to do exactly what he said to be redeemed. It's all his system. So he spoke to them in parables so that they couldn't come to the understanding. So that they couldn't be saved. Is the bottom line. Because they had done him so wrong for so long. He says, I'm going to come and preach the truth to you, but I'm not choosing all of you. That's why he says, many are called, but few are chosen. He's the one doing the calling. He's the one doing the choosing. Okay? He's doing all that. I'm the one calling you. I'm the one choosing you. I'm the one that gives you understanding. If I don't want you to understand, I don't care how much you read this. I don't care how much you study it. I don't care how many people teach it to you. If I don't want you to understand it, you won't understand it. That's his doing. Okay, and so we have to understand that. He wants to heal us. He wants us to open up ourselves to him and admit that we are wretched. Our thoughts are continually evil. And the only way that changes is through conversion, being converted. That conversion is actually changing inside, and it's recognizing that he is Elohim and that his statutes, laws, and commandments are how we are to judge everything and run our life. Our standards don't meet his standards. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. And so we have to recognize that and convert to his ways, convert to his standards, whether we agree with it or not. And that's the problem. The vast majority of the world does not agree with the standards of the Most High. That's why they don't want to be up under his law. They don't want to be up under his statutes. They don't want to be up under his ordinances, his judgments, because they say that they are harsh. You know what? I'm only human, and I'm going to make mistakes. But we choose, a mistake is a mistake, okay? And the Most High knows that, and he deals with that, and he has mercy on that because it was a mistake. What he don't have mercy on is willful disobedience, something that we know is wrong, and we go ahead and do it. That's what he has no mercy on. Okay. And so we got to understand that the opening of the kingdom to mankind, the Most High was going to do something that he never did before. Okay. He's going to do something he never did before. You know what? Your willful sin is blasphemy. And that's what he calls it, blasphemy. We think that, oh, we got to tell some great lie or do something against the Holy Ghost to be a blasphemer, a blasphemer. No, we can blaspheme the Holy Ghost himself, the Holy Spirit himself. But to be a blasphemer is simply to be willfully disobedient against the Most High. Then you are a blasphemer. That's why he says, many of your sins and blasphemies shall be forgiven. So you have to find out, when is a blasphemy and when did I do it? A sin is transgressing his laws willfully or ignorantly. The Most High says, I can deal with ignorantly. I'll forgive you for ignorantly when you learn that it's a sin and confess it and turn away from it. Convert. Turn away from it. I'll forgive it. But when it was willful in Torah, he said, uh-uh. That sin is going to remain with you. And you're going to die from that sin. He would not forgive it. So with Messiah coming into the world, with the Most High did that he never did, he said, I'm going to forgive your willful sin one time, not continuously, one time. You come to me, and I'm going to forgive your willful sin once. After that, you're accountable for your sin again. And people want to act like they're not accountable. They come to the Most High, they confess their sins, and then I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. No. If you know a sin and you confess it, there's no struggling with it. You are supposed to convert. You are supposed to change. After that, it is what in his eyes, it's willful disobedience. It's blasphemy. And so he said, I forgave you for that once. Now it goes back to the law. And he is not forgiving of it. And so then, if you really want to get into the kingdom, if you really want to show the Most High that you know, hey, I was stupid, you know, I was childish, I was ignorant to your ways, please forgive me for my blasphemy, because I am blaspheming you when I was willfully disobedient. I actually stood on what Messiah did. Okay. So he wants us to have clarity about him. And he wants us to be converted. Have for sure understanding of who he is and what he did, what he puts up with and what he doesn't. So that we don't approach him ignorantly, amiss, thinking that we can come before him any kind of way, thinking that we have a right to, because that's what he told Israel. You think you have a right to come before me and inquire of me as though you do righteousness. You think you have a right to come and ask me to work in your favor when you don't do what I tell you to do. When you don't work righteousness. And he says, don't come before me that way. Don't think that you can just approach me that way. Because it's not me. So he wants us to have complete understanding about him. So Messiah is announcing the kingdom. Now he's talking to the masses, because in this case, he's talking to them in a manner you don't want them to understand. I want you to be damned. I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm going to tell you the truth in a way you can't understand. So that you can hear it, but not understand it. So you can see it and not understand. And because you don't understand, you won't convert. We might say that's awful. No, this is because people would rather choose to do wickedness. And this is where Israel's heart was at. And this is where mankind's heart was at from the very beginning. He said their thoughts were continually evil, even before he gave them the law. It was not within mankind to just do good. Their thoughts before the flood were continually evil, not to do good. And the Most High got mad and said, I'm going to destroy everything and start over. And now we come to his salvation in Messiah. We should not take that lightly at all. At all. Because who's going to come and die for your sins? Will your mother or your father, with your children, with your husband or your wife, your sister or your brother. So the scriptures say, scarcely will somebody come and die for a righteous man, much less a sinner. And Messiah came and died for sinners. All of us who were in sin, in transgression. So through the parables, he's telling us about the kingdom. Okay? Let's continue in verse 16. So he tells the disciples, ask him, hey, why don't you talk to them plainly? Why don't you tell them what you want them to know plainly? He says, because I don't want them to understand. I don't want them to see. I don't want them to hear what I'm saying. But I'm going to bless you. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them. Why? Because the world's ways are just evil and wicked. The world believes that it can get along without the Most High. It believes that it can get along without the Creator. It believes that the standards of the Creator are not their standards. Okay. And have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Now he's going to explain the parable of the sower to his disciples. Okay. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and that, did he say salvation? No, he did not say salvation. He said the word of the kingdom. This is the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's available to you. You can enter into. You don't have to die to enter into it. But you do have to convert. You have to change. And he says, and when I resurrect you, you will already know how to behave in the kingdom because you were doing it in this life. You don't wait until you die and think that you're going to change. Because when you die, your judgment is sealed, whatever it is. You're either making it into the kingdom or you're going to the lake. There's no in between. There's no halfway. There's no serving 10 years and coming out. That's not scriptural. You go into the lake of fire, it is for eternity. That is your lot. And you can't die. So this stuff about purgatory and all that stuff, that's the tradition of men. That is not the word of the Most High. Doesn't exist. So it says, when one hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is received, that which receives seed by the wayside. So remember the birds, the wayside, the seed got thrown by the wayside, the side of the road, the birds came and ate up right away. That's a person that just don't have no understanding at all. They hear the word, they ain't got a clue. Then anything that the enemy comes with, they will fall for it. Okay? That's what he's saying. But he that received the seed into a stony place. Remember that rock, that stony place, not a lot of soil? The same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. So they hear the word and they receive it with joy, and they're glad and they want to be saved, but they themselves are shallow. They have no depth to themselves. Okay? And so he says there's not much earth there. We are earth. Okay? We were made from the dirt. There's not much earth there, though, for that seed to take root. All right? Yet has he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. So they endure for a minute. They hear the word, they're happy. You ever walk around telling everybody, I'm saved, I believe in the Most High. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Yeshua, yada, yada, yada. But then something happens. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, oh, you think you saved. You think you all that. You still the same old person. You still got the same old way. That actually affects them. And because it's shallow within themselves, they have no root. The word don't really root within them. They become offended. They become upset. I had it easier when I was out in the world. You know, nobody attacked me like this. Nobody said stuff to me like that. I didn't have to worry about it. I do what I want to do. And nobody said anything to me like this. And they become offended, okay? And so they drop away. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, that's the cares of this world. If I see it, oh, you know what? They say, oh, if I have a mansion, I'm doing good. If I have a five-bedroom home or whatever, I'm doing good. If I get this doctor's degree or if I do this, I'm doing good. The cares of this world, okay? Let me put my glasses back on. The care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. How do riches deceive us? When we have money, get money, and we think that we are secure, you know, we can pay our bills, we can go where we want to, yada, yada, yada. Get sick enough. I don't care how much money you got. There's some diseases you can get you can't buy your way out of. They're going to kill you. Run into the wrong person on the street. And they decide to rob you and they want to shoot you or stab you. Your riches won't do anything for you. Okay? So you got people who are the richest people in the world. They get a disease. They'll spend a lot of money trying to get cured from that disease and still die. Their riches didn't help them. Okay? And that's the deceitfulness of riches. It makes that person believe that the money will solve everything for them, will save them from everything, and it won't. Choke the word and become unfruitful. So in a lot of people, when they get money, in order to keep money, they usually have to step on other people to keep money. They got to take somebody else's money. And you deal with a lot of rich people, that's how they keep their money. They take it from other people. Donald Trump is a class example of this. And if you look at the public law cases against him, the small contractors that he would hire to do work for him, they would do the work, and then he wouldn't pay them for it. So he gets his tower, and they get messed over. They don't get paid for the job. And that happens a lot in business. Or it's, you know, how strong of a business deal can you formulate yourself? If you can screw over the other person, if you can get over, then they think that you did a good job. But business is supposed to be in the eyes of the Most High. We are not supposed to use crooked scales. We're not supposed to cheat anyone. And so in the eyes of the Most High, if we do those things, we were a bad person. We are a bad person. But in the eyes of the world, you are a shrewd businessman, a shrewd businesswoman. Okay? And that's their standard. So even in the law of the land, they will tell you that ignorance is no excuse. If you don't know the law, that's your problem. If somebody knows the law and they use the law against you, and you don't have a lawyer to protect yourself or whatever, you can't protect yourself, they'll say, hey, shame on you. The standard of the land is to not treat you fairly. That's the standard of the Most High. The standard of the land is hey, if you don't, if you are ignorant, then we can take advantage of you. That's the standard of the land, of the world. If you don't know better, shame on you. You still learn. So they can get over on you, and the law will back them up. Hey, they used the law on you. You didn't know the law. And that's what they were doing to people for years and years and years, using the law, ignorance of the law, against people to be able to treat them however they wanted to treat them. Okay? But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands. Got to understand. Understand it, which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, bringing forth fruit is not having a lot of people listening to you. Because if you don't understand the word and you're still in ministry, just because you got a lot of people listening to you don't mean that you're bringing truth. Don't mean that you have understanding. But they don't have understanding either. But it agrees with their lifestyle. And so men are in the very habit of teaching the tradition and the doctrine of men as the commandments of the Most High. Not the commandments of the Most High. Their own traditions, their own doctrines as his commandments. And the scripture says as much. And so it's not about how many people. It is basically that the good fruit, do you think good fruit is going to be contrary? So good fruit disobeys the laws of the Most High. No. That's not good fruit. Good fruit don't even know the laws of the Most High. Don't want to hear about the laws of the Most High. Don't want to learn what the Most High says is love. They want to have their own standards, their own definition. And this is what feels right to me. That's not good fruit. So they don't want to be damned by the Most High, but they don't want to follow the Most High. They don't want to do what he says to do. And I think that man, those who are in positions of high places, rank, whatever, have known this for a very long time. And they've used it against people. Make them feel good, but we're not really going to give them the true gospel. And basically, they don't understand the true gospel, but they know that people want to feel good. They want to feel good about themselves. They want to feel good about their lives and what they have been doing. They want to feel that they have hope in that they can be forgiven. And they do have hope in that they can be forgiven if they come to the Most High in the right way. Not in the way that men have said to come. So men have followed the parables. And even with Messiah and the disciples writing down what the parables mean, they still have no understanding of the parables because they feel like, hey, we can get by doing this. We can do it our way. And then say that it's the Most High's way. But when you see that it's contrary to the Most High, then you have to know that, hey, wait a minute. This is a tradition or a doctrine of men. And they are doing what they want to do. They're not following the Most High. And so this is the world that we live in today. Messiah spoke to the masses in parables. And even with the parables today, people don't hear and see the true gospel of the kingdom. And everything that is coming forth is to tell us how to get into the kingdom, how to become citizens of the kingdom, what laws of the kingdom. So how do we bring our own laws? our own statutes, our own judgments, into the kingdom of the Most High. How is it that we don't understand that this is His kingdom? So we want to take the Most High kingdom and make it our own. And we want to turn Him into an Elohim based upon our standard. We turn Him into a God based upon our standards. Not His standards, but our standards. And we even want to take it and whatever culture we come from, we want to culturize the Most High. And instead of that culture converting to the culture of the Most High, they want the Most High to convert to their culture. This is how we do things. So even to the keeping of the pagan holiday, if you got a holiday that is in the Word of the Most High, that is written, how do we come up with a different holiday? How do we take that and evolve into something that we want to do? When it's written, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to celebrate. This is why I want you to celebrate it. But what the world has done is taken the feast days of the Most High or of their own deity, the ancestor, the deity of their ancestors, their forefathers, and they tied it to the Most High. And He said, don't do that. Don't call me what they call their God, their Elohim. Don't do to me what they did to their Elohim. Don't include any custom that they use on their Elohim and then do it to me. This is how I want you to worship me. And that's how I want you to worship me. Don't add to it or take away from it. Don't do what you do to them, because I've already determined that everything that they've done for their Elohim is an abomination to me. But this is what the world has done. So we get Easter. What do bunny rabbits and new dresses have to do with Messiah? What do bunny rabbits and Easter eggs have to do with Messiah? What does fertility and procreation have to do with Messiah? Because that's what bunny rabbits and eggs represent. Fertility and procreation. What does that have to do with our Savior? Not anything. But this is what the world does, because they want to keep doing what they were doing and say, well, like the scripture says, they feared Yah but served their own God. See that continuance today. They read the same book, but don't get understanding out of it. They get what they want to get out of it. And they turn it into their tradition. So we know that Easter, even though it's written into the book, the Most High, that feast day for the Most High was the feast of the first fruit. And we know that one of Messiah's titles is the first fruit. And He gave that in Torah because He says, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I have done. And I want you to celebrate my holidays for the things I have done and the things I'm going to do. I'm going to have you start doing it now. And because they don't understand those things, they tie pagan deities to it. And they say they're worshiping the Most High. Is it not? They're not worshiping me. They don't understand. They do not understand. Verse 24. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven. And remember, this is all about the kingdom of heaven. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade, they started breaking forth through the ground, the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the tares look like the original plant, but the tares bear no fruit. Okay. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence or where then has it, where did you get these tares? Why does it have tares? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we should go and gather up the tares? You know, de-weed the garden. So what did Messiah say? But he said, No, least while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. So the tares and the wheat look alike. You pulling up a tare, you might also pull up a wheat, a good one. Let both grow together until the harvest. Now I'm going to separate them at the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together, first the tares. Now see, the saints think they're going to get out first. The saints think that in a twinkling of an eye, they're going to get out of here. What did he just tell you? I'm going to gather the tares first. And bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So he's telling us the evil ones are going to be taken out of the world. Okay? Because man has been taught that he goes to heaven. They misread the scriptures. Okay? We are a member of that kingdom, but we were never designed to go to heaven. Messiah's kingdom, paradise, is on this earth. Evil is going to be taken out of the earth, not goodness, not the righteous. The tares are going to be gathered together and thrown into the lake of fire. The tares are everybody who didn't convert. Look like a saint, sound like a saint, but ain't a saint. So he gathers them together. He said, let them grow up together. Let them interact together. So when I come to harvest, then I'll separate them. I know who's righteous and who's not. And I'm going to tell my reapers, those are not righteous. Gather them first. And gather my righteous to me. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. A mustard seed, you can barely see it. And so you drop it on the ground, you ain't going to find it. And it's going to grow into one of the biggest trees there are. It's going to take over. Okay. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. This is the kingdom of heaven. He said the kingdom of heaven is starting off small. But in the end, it's going to be huge. It's really going to take over the world. And we got to know that. But it's going to start off small. And believe me, that tree, that seed doesn't grow into a tree overnight. That can happen in hundreds or thousands of years. So it's going to take some time. And we see 2,000 years later, we are still waiting on the return of Messiah. The kingdom of heaven is still supposed to be growing. But it's not accepting everyone. But everyone believes that they're in it. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven. Leaven is a change agent. When you talk about dough, when you put yeast in dough, it causes dough to rise. is to make a change. Love is leavening. Meekness is leavening. And see, we always want to equate leavening to something negative because it's used in some scripture in a negative way. Okay, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that is what will happen. If you got evil, a little evil will take over the whole lump. But love is also a leavening. Joy, peace, long-suffering, those are leavening. So what matters is what type of leavening are you? That's why when I did the precept, what type of yeast infection are you giving people? People got upset. They were like, oh, that's sexual. That's, you know, pointed toward a woman. But we are leavening. And depending upon what type of leavening we bring to the group, to the bunch, if we are sinful, if we are wicked, we will leaven the whole lump. You know, one person, it takes more than one person to sin in most cases. You can sin by yourself, but the type of sins that we are famous for, whether it's fornicating, stealing from somebody, you're going to involve somebody else. And then they're going to become, you know, if you stole from them, then they want to steal from you or steal from somebody else. So forth and so on. If it's fornicating, then you can't fornicate by yourself most of the time. There's always two or three. And then they go with somebody else. So it's spread. So it says the kingdom of heaven is like leavening. That's not sinful leavening. And the kingdom of heaven is supposed to take over the entire world. That's supposed to happen through you and I. As we learn what we're supposed to learn, and as we convert and do what the Most High says, our love is supposed to show through. Our forgiveness is supposed to show through. We are supposed to leaven the world. So this is what this parable is saying. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So she put a little bit of leaven in this lump and that lump and that lump, kneaded it all together, and the whole thing became what? Leaven. Became effective. The kingdom of heaven is like that. It's not sin. And so we can't look at it that way because anytime you say leavening, first place people's mind go is to sin. Because Messiah says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And it's true. If it's wickedness. But if it's righteousness, it also will leaven the whole lump. If you hold people to the standard. And that's what it's all about. We don't want to hold people to a standard today. The standard is the world standard. We don't want to hold them to the standard of the Most High. And weed out those elements that are not righteous, that are wicked, that don't want to repent. Not saying that we should not be forgiving, merciful, or kind. We are supposed to be. But the person has to genuinely want to repent. Has to genuinely repent. Not say they're repenting. Not say they're struggling. I turn away from that. I'm not doing that anymore. That's not me. And when the situation comes up, they don't do it. That used to be me, but it's not me anymore. Because I've been converted. I've been changed. They understand. Okay. And so the kingdom of heaven is like that if we hold the standards of the kingdom. The kingdom is supposed to spread all through the world. Not just supposed to be in Israel. Not just supposed to be in certain countries. The entire world. But the world wants to hold on to its own standard. And this is what Messiah is waiting for. He says, when I return, shall I find faith? Your faith is what you truly believe. Do you believe that he's the king of the world? Do you believe that he's the savior of the world? If you believe that, will you submit yourself and let him rule over you according to his standards, not yours? Messiah came and he was the perfect example, for example. He didn't sin. He didn't transgress. That is what we're supposed to become. Non-sinners, non-transgressors. The scripture didn't say Messiah didn't try not to sin, that he didn't sin. That means that you and I can live a life that's sin-free. We have to choose to do that. Every time we get tempted to do something that is against the laws of the Most High, we have to choose not to do it. We have to be around people who are choosing not to do it. Nope, that's not proper. That's not in accordance with the scripture. That's not in accordance with the word of the Most High. That's not the will of the Father. So no, we're not doing that. That's the problem. And then people want to bring in their own tradition, their own standards. They got this understanding of the scripture, but it's contrary to the scripture. Still leaves what I call wiggle room. And we will wiggle. Give us an inch, we'll take a mile. We will wiggle into doing wrong. But that is the way of the world. And we want to bring that into the kingdom because we've never truly converted. Never truly changed. Okay? So, the kingdom of heaven is supposed to spread globally. Okay? And the saints are supposed to be in charge. But when we don't get involved with politics, with you know, the running of countries, when we don't understand who we are, and we say, you know, we'll wait for the Most High, we are really sinning. I'm just going to say it like it is. That's not who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be change agents in the world. When you got a corrupt system and both sides are corrupt, you got to bring something new. You can't say, well, this one is less corrupt than that one, so I'll go with this one. No, you got to be willing to step up and say, neither one of those are right. And this is the standard of the Most High. So this is what I choose, the standard of the Most High. And this is what I'm bringing as a platform, the standard of the Most High. Oh, no, America doesn't want to live that way because we don't want to be ruled by the Most High. We want to be ruled by the people. We want people to vote and let the majority rule. And we want to believe that the majority of people are good, good according to their own standards, but not good according to the standard of the Most High. And so because we are a democracy and we want to, everybody wants to have a vote and a say in how things are to be, then that's what we want to go with. But it's contrary to the Most High. And so we don't want to get involved. We say we do, but we don't. Because we don't. We're afraid of what the world's going to say. Or we want to use the excuse, or we'll leave it to the Most High. He'll straighten it out when he comes. He says, well, I find faith when I come. Or will I find you like the one I gave the single talent to, and he buried his talent because he was afraid he's going to lose it. Didn't do anything with it. He says, take it from him. Give it to the one that has sin. He didn't do anything with it. Take it from him. Give it to the one that has sin. I know they'll do something with it. Now take him and bind him up. See, we can't just sit by. These are what the parables are telling us. We can't just sit by. We can't just say, oh, you know, I'm just a bystander, or I'm just a cog in this big wheel or whatever. Or I'm going to wait for the Most High and he's going to straighten it out, because he said his mission to us was going to teach the world his way, his culture, his standard. And be a leavening, a change agent in the world. Not be changed by the world. Be the change in the world. So we understand his parable. Verse 34. All these things spake Yeshua unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. He didn't speak to them plainly at all. His message to the masses was so that they could not understand. And that understanding would be given to those that he chose. You start off with the 12. Everybody that's at church is not chosen by the Most High. They want to be good. They're going to church. But until he fills them with his spirit, they're none of his. You can be doing good. Want to do the right thing. Haven't submitted yourself to the Most High. Or he didn't choose you. And I'm just going to put it where it is. He didn't choose you. Because many are called, but few are chosen. He didn't choose. But you want to be good. And so you're going through the motions. I go to church on Sunday or Saturday. I feed the hungry. I take care of the poor. But there's something not right. Something somewhere is not right. And a 100% true repentance in that area never happens. Maybe you feel superior. I do it because the little man can't do it for himself, so I'll do it. But it's from a, not from a position of love, but superiority. Can't say, don't know. Each of us knows our own heart. That's what the scripture says. Everybody knows their own way. But something didn't happen. And so we have to come to the Most High on his terms, the way he says to come, of a humble heart, meek, truly meek and humble. I'm nobody without you. And really mean that deep down in their heart. I'm nobody, I'm nothing without you. I look to you for everything. And I obey your voice. Not when it's convenient, but I always obey your voice. I obey what's written. I obey when you reveal things to me in the midnight hour. I obey when you come to me in a dream. I obey when you speak to me through that little child. I obey you. I hear your voice. Because the Most High can speak to us through any meaning is have a dog come and speak to you. Or a donkey. Or a raccoon. A mouse. A cat. If the Most High wants to talk to you. Today he's usually doing it in dreams, in visions. Or through the man or the woman of Elohim, of God. We need to hear his voice and obey. So he spoke to them in parables. He did not want the masses to understand. And I'm just here to tell you that the masses are in the same condition today that they were in that day. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof because they don't obey the power thereof. And that's how you can tell. Oh, yeah, we serve God. Which God? What's his or her name? Because we got a lot of people out there. God is a she. And what do they have you doing? Got to ask, who are they worshiping? Who are they serving? Just because they say God don't mean it's who you serve. Let the person be a Satanist. And you say, I serve God. It's, I serve God too. But your God and their God are not the same. They worship Satan. They serve Satan. You worship the Most High. You serve the Most High. But if you don't ask, you believe that you both serve in the same Elohim. That's why it's important to use his name. Then there's no doubt as to who you're talking about. God is generic. You'll be talking about anybody or anything. But say his name. Call on his name. So he spoke to them in parables. I will open my mouth in parables, so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. But he's going to utter them in what? Parables. So they still don't have no understanding. Then Yeshua sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. Now, they're supposed to be given the understanding. He declares the parable to them. They themselves don't understand. But he's going to give them understanding. He's not going to give the masses understanding. And this is what we have to understand. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Those that take the word and consume it. Don't let the world get in the way. Don't let life get in the way. They are deep persons within themselves, meaning that they're not shallow. And not just anything is going to take this from them. Wild horses couldn't drag it out of them. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sold them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. So remember, he said, I'm going to have my reapers come and take the tares out. Not the saints. The tares. And bundle them up and throw them into the lake of fire. He says that happens at the end of the world. Now, what the scriptures teach us about the end of the world, heaven is coming here, we're not going to heaven. The new Jerusalem comes down out of the sky onto the earth. The earth does not go up to the new Jerusalem. And we don't go up to the new Jerusalem, or we don't go up to heaven. The souls that are under the altar is symbolic, meaning that they belong to the Most High. That's where they are. That's where their security is at. But they are not physically in heaven. But when people read those verses, they want to make it. That's literally what it means. So when the Most High is speaking literally, people don't want to take it literally. They want to make it symbolic. And when the Most High is speaking symbolic or in a parable, in a way that is not meant for them to understand, they want to take it literally because it makes it easy. But the truth of the matter is, none of us go into heaven. We are going to be resurrected on this earth. Those that are the tares are going to go into the lake of fire on this earth. Those that make it into the kingdom are going to go into the kingdom on this earth, not up in the heaven of heaven. So when Messiah is speaking about where I am, there shall you also be, he's talking in a figurative way. That's where your security is. But you live here. And this is where you're going to always live. And this is where he's coming. Paradise, the kingdom of heaven, is on this earth. And the Most High is going to be your Elohim on this earth. And he's going to come and live on this earth with us. not us go up into the heavens. And so they got people dying every day and somebody telling them, oh, they went to heaven. They just lied to that person, I guess to make them feel better. But they lied to them. It's not in the Word. And it is a misunderstanding, having a lack of understanding of the true Word of the Most High. They believe the symbolic in the parable. They believe the symbolic literally. But they're not supposed to believe it literally. Because he tells us exactly where he's going to establish the kingdom. On the earth, where his throne will be, in Jerusalem, on the earth. And I will be among them, on the earth. But people have to believe that they're going to go into heaven. And that they're going to come back from heaven with him. But the scriptures tell us that the dead in Messiah, the dead in Christ, shall rise, not descend, shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Not going to descend with him. When he comes with the shout of the archangel, he's coming by himself. He's going to blow that trumpet, or the archangel's going to blow that trumpet, and the dead will rise from the grave first. And we'll meet him in the sky, but we're not meeting him in heaven. Not the heaven of heaven. It's going to be on the earth. So we got to know that. But because we are going by the traditions and the doctrines of men, then they got everybody going into heaven. Okay, but that's not what the Word of the Most High, they read it. So he explains to them the parable of the sower. And tells us that these things will happen in the last days. People, I don't know whether they get tired of waiting, whether, you know, we want things, we want that microwave type of life where what we do and the gratification that we get is now, now, now. But the Most High said in his time, if we live and die, then we know our hope is that he's going to resurrect us. But everybody's going to get resurrected, good or bad, everybody. Then our hope is that we get resurrected on his side of the line and not on the wicked side. Because everybody gets resurrected, both good and bad. And everybody gets resurrected to eternal life. Good and bad. To eternal life. But some are going to be resurrected to everlasting damnation. And some to paradise. Everlasting paradise. So they're alive. They're in the lake. There ain't no place to be. But they're alive. Okay, but they're in damnation. And in those that are in paradise in the kingdom, they are living what all saints want to live, the life, with Elohim, being their Elohim, no more war, no more starvation, no more sickness, and they have eternal life. And when he transforms this planet, because he said, hey, he's going to roll away the sky, the atmosphere on this planet. Not going to be an atmosphere. Not going to be any water except for coming around Jerusalem when everything is all said and done. And it's going to be an environment that can withstand him. Because remember, when he came down, what happened to everything? The mountains melted. He showed a little bit of himself, and the mountains melted. He can't stand in his presence. He says, I'm going to change the world to conform to me. He says, every element is going to melt. Mountains, rock, metals, anything that is not like him. That's why he says, we have to see him for who he is, for we will be like him. We will be in the same form as he is. so it won't affect us the same way. But everything that's not like him, oh, he's going to go through a transformation. Okay, different lesson. Verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. As for the tares being thrown into the lake of fire, you don't come out of that. But you're not dead, because he gives you eternal life. Then he throws you into the lake. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth for the wicked, for the tares. The Son of Man, verse 41, Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. They're going to gather out of the kingdom all things that offend. They're not going to gather the saints and put them in paradise. The whole world will be a paradise except for the lake of fire. We're going to gather all things that offend, which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, the lake of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But see, you know, you got denominations teaching that, hey, you're just going to burn up and you're done. That is not scriptural. You take you cherry pick the scripture, yeah, you might come to that conclusion. But when you read and study the scripture, when the Most High gives you understanding, then you understand that he throws death and hell into the lake of fire. And then whosoever is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life is thrown into the lake of fire. So death and hell go into the lake of fire. There is no more death and hell. They are in the lake. They have been done away with. New system. Everybody has eternal life, good and bad. If your name ain't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you go into the lake. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you enter into the kingdom in peace. One or the other. And there is no in-between. There is no purgatory. Scripture says you're going to enter into everlasting. Either everlasting bliss or everlasting turmoil. Those are the two states. The other things are the doctrine of men. You know, I don't think I could serve a God that would punish me forever. I don't think I could serve a God that would throw me in fire and I'm still living and I can't burn up and die. I can just feel the pain. I don't think I can serve a God like that. I don't think I can serve a God that would punish me forever for being wicked. So we need something around that. Let's make up something. Let's make up our own doctrine. Let's make it to where, you know, we go and we suffer for our sins a little bit and we come out. That is not written anywhere in the Holy Scripture. That is a doctrine in the tradition of men. So Dante's Inferno, the different levels of hell, that is a doctrine and a tradition of men. The Most High says sin is sin. And if I convict you for sin, you're going to all get the same punishment who are guilty. If I haven't forgiven you, if you haven't been redeemed, you all get the same punishment. It's not a different level of hell. It's not written anywhere. One thing that's written is, you shall receive weeping and gnashing of teeth. Horrifying pain. This is a pain. This is a pain that was designed for the devil and his minions, the demons. They were eternal beings that normal fire didn't hurt. They'd come stick their hand on the stove, in the fire, in the stove. Fire come out like that. La-di-da, that stuff don't hurt me. I'm not subject to that type of fire. But the Most High said he's going to make a fire that they are subject to. And he created it for them. And he says, now everybody who turns out like them, wicked, I'm going to throw you in the same fire. The devil is eternal. He can't die. He's that type of spirit. Most of us says, I created a fire that will torment him, though, him and his demons. And now I'm going to throw you in the same fire because now I made you eternal. And you can't die. So I'm going to throw you in the same fire. So men have come up with doctrines that say, oh, well, you're going to go in there. You might be in there until you serve your time. Never come up with a time. Well, you get 10 years for this or you get 1,000 years for that. None of that because it's made up. It don't exist in the scripture. The only time spirit that's given in the scripture is everlasting, forever. Put a time on that, forever. Your smoke of your torment shall go up forever. Your bliss in the kingdom shall be forever. But we've been taught falsehood, okay? Verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Who can understand, let him understand. And do. Understand that you can't make excuses. You can't say, I'm trying. Most I never put a place in there for a try. You have to commit. You have to convert. Conversion is not a halfway process. It is a full turnaround, a full conviction of that was wrong, this is right, I'm going to do right, I'm not going to do wrong, according to the standards of the Most High, not according to my own standards. Yeah, you know, those women, they got those big booties. I can't help myself. And then, yeah, don't let them act like they want to do something. I can't help myself. So you better help yourself. You better help yourself to not doing it. Better not let that temptation overwhelm you to where you cause both of you to sin. Now you got your sin and her sin on you as well. And her vice versa. You know, that $1,000 was just sitting there. I saw the man when he turned his head. He wasn't paying attention. I just took it. I just took it. I had one of the vendors today at the farmer's market. I think she's probably in her 70s. She's still working. She sells jewelry. And you'd be surprised how many of these old people still be stealing. You know, she's trying to run this booth by herself. Somebody get her attention over here. Somebody take something over there. And so she had been at this one show, and she had taken, you know, all her expensive pieces with her, but she was trying to spread them out so that she could kind of keep an eye on them. And she had four pieces that were together, you know, one of her most expensive pieces. And somebody came in and stole them. While she wasn't looking, they knocked them on the ground and then, you know, stooped over and picked them up, put them in their pocket, walked away. She finds out later it's gone. So age ain't got nothing to do with it. But these are old people, and I know they're old people that are buying from her. I've seen a couple of young people, but the vast majority of people buying from her are old. I would say they're old. And they're, you know, they like her style of jewelry, and they're buying it. But there's also stealing. If they can get it for free, they'll steal it and take it for free. And they'll walk into the church like it was nothing. It ain't got nothing to do with age. It has to do with conversion. Have you truly repented, and have you truly been converted? You know, the Most High never said that you couldn't look at a beautiful person, a handsome man or a beautiful woman. Never said that. It's where you allow your mind to go after that. It's the problem. and that's where we get in trouble. Oh, we start lusting, especially if we are on our own. But we can be with somebody. If we got that spirit, oh, wait a minute. Wonder if I can get with her. Wonder if she would let me. She gave me half the chance, I'd be all over. That's that spirit. And then we say, oh, well, we're trying to do better. No, the Most High don't give room for try. When you stumble and fall, that means that you didn't commit. That don't mean that you were struggling with a sin that you know is a sin and you gave into it. That doesn't mean that, because you know you're not supposed to do that. When you're talking about you stumbled and fell, you committed a ignorant sin. I didn't know that was a sin. Because surely if I knew it was a sin, I wouldn't have done it. So that's an ignorant sin. You stumble and you fail. You learn that it's a sin, you repent, he is true and just to forgive you. Because you did it ignorantly. And when you found out, you turned away from it, you converted. So you're talking about, I'm struggling, I'm trying to do better. No, you never converted. And those things are still, you can't, if you never smoked a cigarette, and you don't smoke cigarettes, you can't be tempted with a cigarette. If you never shot heroin, you can't be tempted with heroin. Nobody can come up with a heroin needle and say, hey, here, go ahead and shoot up. Dude, get out of my face. You can't be tempted with that stuff. You can only be tempted with stuff that is in you to do it. That's why it's a temptation, because it's in you to do it. Other than that, you wouldn't be tempted with it. Can't be tempted with what's not in you. And so, if it's in you, you didn't convert. You didn't commit to it. That's the difference. You know, when we are strung out on drugs, nobody can help us until we want to help ourselves. We want to quit doing those drugs. And until that time, nobody can really help us. The psychiatrist, the, you know, substance abuse center, whatever. We can't be helped, because no matter what situation you put us in, if it's still in us to do it, we'll find a way to do it. When I was in basic training, I was smoking cigarettes. Trust me, I was sneaking out at night smoking a cigarette when I shouldn't be smoking, when I shouldn't be out smoking, because it was in me to do it. When I could get away with smoking a joint, I would smoke a joint. Matter of fact, a lot of us in the military were smoking weed. Some of their tests were coming back positive, and mine wasn't. All of a sudden, I got branded as a narc. Oh, you're a narc. We getting busted, and you ain't. You a cop, undercover cop. No, that wasn't it. But, yeah, and I always give glory to the Most High for that, because all those years, I could have thrown away my life behind some weed. But, yeah, never allowed my test to come back positive. And then I just quit. I read in the scripture that doing that is a form of witchcraft, and that was enough for me. At that time, I was like, oh, don't want to practice witchcraft, so let me give that up. Gave it up, smoking up, drinking up, all at the same time, so that none of them could influence and make me turn around. And so you have to commit. And then once you commit, then it's no longer a temptation. Nobody can, you know, people can come around me with a cigarette or drinks or weed, and it don't make me want to do it. It's not a temptation. Oh, you know, maybe I can just take a puff. No, it's no temptation like that. It's not in me to do it anymore. Years ago, heck, I would want to be quitting smoking cigarettes. I'd buy a pack of cigarettes, ball it up, and 15 minutes later be going back trying to piece together the cigarettes I broke up, because I wasn't committed to quitting. I wanted to quit, but I really didn't commit to it. But once I committed to it, then you would come around me, blow smoke in my face, and it would not affect me. It was not going to take a puff off that cigarette. It was not going to ask you for one or try to sneak one and go smoke it by myself later. I was done with it. So I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. When you're done, you're done. If you're still struggling with it, you ain't done. Just that simple. And the Most High knows, you ain't done. You said you were sorry, but maybe you were sorry you got caught. But you wasn't sorry that you actually did it. I was sorry somebody found out. So you have to be done with it. You have to understand that His ways are the only ways. Don't matter what man says. Don't matter what form of government they come up with. Don't matter how much they learn in science. None of that stuff matters. If it contradicts Him, if it takes the control from Him, then you are confused. What Babylon is all about, confusion. If we feel like that we can run our lives and live our lives outside the control of the Most High, outside of His commandments, outside of His statutes, outside of His standards, His ordinances, His judgments, then we are confused. Just that plain and simple. The world might say something else because the world is going by a different standard, but as far as the Most High is concerned, that one's confused. All of them are confused. They think they can do this thing without me or outside of me, do it on their own way, then they are in confusion. But when we have understanding, when Messiah reveals to us and gives us understanding, because it's Him that gives the understanding, then we know there's nobody but Him. And we have to operate by His standards. We have to operate on what He said. Anything outside of that, then we are in sin. We are in confusion. We are out of control. And this is what He's telling us in these parables. I'm explaining to you, disciples, and I'm going to give you a better understanding. But to the masses, I don't want them to understand. I don't want them to be saved. Because if He wanted them to be saved, He'd have told them plainly. No, I want them to hear and not understand. I want them to see the miracles I'm doing and not understand what I'm doing. Not understand the ramifications of it and what it means. With that being said, we will continue this on tomorrow morning. We will go into the next series of parables that Messiah gives. And understand that even with the understanding, the world still don't understand. Even with the explanation. People go to church for years and are as dumbed down as a box of rocks because the Most High hasn't given them the understanding. They hear like these people heard, but they don't really understand. And so they are what I call living the dual life. Wanting to be good, but not really understanding how to be good. And that all starts and ends with the Most High, period. Anything outside of that, then we are off the mark, we are off the track. May the Most High bless you. May keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you, I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I want to do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign.
All right, amen.